2 weeks ago, we did kind of a review on the first half of the attributes of God. Today, we're going to begin chapter 10 on the faithfulness of God. Let me just ask the question, first of all, when you think of the word faithful, what comes to mind?
Loyalty.
Loyalty, sure, yeah. Constancy, yes. Yes, what was that again?
Integrity,
steadfastness, all of those things. The word faithful appears 83 times in Scripture. The word faithfully is used another 18 times, and the word faithfulness is used about 59 times. So it's an important word for us to think through and talk about. It's frequently used in speaking, of course, of God's faithfulness and trustworthiness to His people. Now, we live in a culture, I don't have to tell you guys this, but we live in a culture where unfaithfulness abounds. We see this in virtually every sphere of life. In the business world, a man's word is no longer his word. You said a handshake would seal the deal, right? No longer. We live in a world where, even in our social world, where husbands and wives are unfaithful to one another and are willing to discard covenant vows on a whim. We live in a world where, in the ecclesiastical realm, pastors are not faithful to preaching the full counsel of God, and instead are preaching topical, cultural sermons to appease, as Paul would use the words, appease to the itching of the ears. So we see unfaithfulness everywhere. In fact, we see it so much that it's hard to even know what faithfulness looks like, let alone what it is. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, if you look at outside of Scripture and you think about faithfulness and who exemplified faithfulness, we could look at the Pilgrim's Progress, and we could look at the man aptly named Faithful, right? So as you recall, Faithful was the first one to join Christian on his pilgrimage. He met Christian after Christian goes through the valley of the shadow of death. And this was a man that was very eager for the Lord. He was very eager in serving Him. He was excited and zealous about living for the Lord and pursuing the Lord, even dying a martyr's death in Vanity Fair, you remember that, where he was burned at the stake for trumped-up charges on inciting a riot. So this was a man that was zealous. He was steadfast. He was loyal. He was courageous, and ultimately gave his life for the cause of Christ. Well, of course, this is the supreme example of faithfulness in Scripture is God. God Himself is faithful. And so we're going to look at several verses that talk about this, and then we'll look at how the Lord is faithful to us specifically. But remember as we start this that God has been faithful to us. He is being faithful to us, and He will always be faithful to us. Who's got Deuteronomy 7? Verse 9.
Know that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps His gracious covenant loyalty for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His command.
Indeed. We serve a God who not only has made promises, He's made covenant with us, and we see this back in Old Testament. He's not only made those covenants, but He also keeps those promises. He keeps those covenants with us. What about the New Testament? Who's got 1 Timothy 2:13?
That should be 2 Timothy 2:13. I looked at it originally.
Okay.
All right, but I don't have it in my Bible right now. Somewhere in here.
I see it's all the going there. Let's go. 2 Timothy 2:13.
If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself.
Thank you, Henry. 2 Timothy 2:13. So if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. This means that His faithfulness is unconditional. It's not dependent upon us. Isn't that a good thing? Our faithfulness will waver. His does not. So we mentioned this with God's sovereignty. You know, we said with God's sovereignty, if He ceased to be sovereign, He ceased to be God. Well, the same is true with His faithfulness. If He ceased to be faithful, then He really ceases to be God. His faithfulness is not dependent upon any action. It's not dependent upon anything or any person. He will always remain faithful, for it is part of who he is. It's part of his nature, part of his character, and he cannot deny that. What about the psalmist in Psalm 36:5? Hopefully that's the correct reference. Psalm 36:5.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Pink writes about this verse, far above all finite comprehension is the unchanging faithfulness of God. Everything about God is great, vast, incomparable. He never forgets, never fails, never falters, never forfeits his word. We see another example in Galatians 8:22. Who's got that? Genesis 8:22.
While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease.
Indeed. God is faithful to bring the seasons. Pink writes, every year that comes furnishes a fresh witness to God's fulfillment of this promise. This is something good for us to hear this first Sunday of 2020. God, as he brings seasons and new years, we don't know what's in store for us this year, do we? We don't know what trials we'll have. We don't know what good providences we'll see from the Lord, what challenging and hard providences we'll get from the Lord. But we know one thing that is for sure is that God will be faithful to you.
I heard this morning, 74 days to spring, and I rejoice.
When I think of God's faithfulness, I think of the great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, written by Thomas Chisholm in 1923. What I want you to do is, I think it's good for us, sometimes it's easy for us to get distracted. So what I want you to do is close your eyes, and I just want you to meditate upon the words of this hymn as I read it. I promise you I will not sing it, but I will read it. Think about these words. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars, in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. It's good to think about, isn't it? All of us need strength, some more than others at different times in our lives. We need strength for today. We need hope in waking up tomorrow. What's going to give us that hope? It's the faithfulness of God. It's the steadfastness and the love of our Heavenly Father. Well, let's look at some of these verses in the Old Testament that speak to God's covenant faithfulness to His people. Remember, as we read this, it describes our people. It describes our ancestors. Genesis 15:13-16, we find that God declared unto Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and there will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, you shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Now, what did the Israelites, what were they prone to do in the 400 years? Wander, yes, and forget God's promises and complain, right? Did God fulfill His promise? Yes. Listen to this. Exodus 12:41. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Through Isaiah, the Lord declared, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Centuries more passed, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. What does this show? God's faithfulness working through his people generation after generation after generation, century after century after century, for years to come. We may not see God's promises, certain ones of his promises, come to light in our lifetime, but we know that as we trust in him, they will. We, much like the Israelites, are prone to complain, aren't we? We're prone to complain when we take our eyes off God's faithfulness. We think at times that God has forgotten, but he really never has. A popular slogan that came after 9/11, I'll let you fill in the blank, was, "We will never forget." That's right. Well, I would humbly say man does forget, but God never does. He will never forget you, his adopted son and daughter. He does not forget his covenant people, and he does not forget his promises that he made long ago that is for you and me today. Well, let's look at three different ways that God is faithful with us, his people. First of all, he's faithful in preserving his people. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." R.C. Sproul, writes really helpfully on the perseverance and the preservation of the saints. Listen to what he said. I think that this little catchphrase, "perseverance of the saints," is dangerously misleading. It suggests that the perseverance is something that we do, perhaps in and of ourselves. I believe that saints do persevere in faith, and that those who have been effectually called by God and have been reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit endure to the end. However, they persevere not because they are so diligent in making use of the mercies of God, although that we should. The only reason we can give why any of us continue on in the faith is because we have been preserved. So I prefer, as R.C. Sproul is saying here, I prefer the term the preservation of the saints, because the process by which we are kept in a state of grace is something that is accomplished by God. And so our perseverance, and we are to persevere in the faith, right? We're to run the race. We're to persevere. But our perseverance is based upon his preservation. We can only persevere because of his grace and his preserving us until the end. Well, secondly, God is also faithful in disciplining his children. Now, don't let me lose you here, because we don't like discipline, do we? How many of y'all are parents? Yes. And so you know what discipline's like for your child, right? And I don't know any parent that likes to discipline. But we do so because we're commanded to do so. And we do so out of love for our child and love for the Heavenly Father. We often think of God's faithfulness in giving us things, which is true, but it's not altogether true. For God is also faithful in what he withholds from us. He is faithful not just in giving us joy, but he's also faithful in giving us sorrow. Pink writes, "The faithfulness of God is a truth to be confessed by us, not only when we are at ease, but also when we are smarting under the sharpest rebuke. Nor must this confession be merely out of mouths, but out of hearts too. When God smites us with the rod of chastisement, it is his faithfulness which wields it. To acknowledge this means that we humble ourselves before him, own that we fully deserve his correction, and instead of murmuring, we thank him for it." How hard that is. When was the last time you disciplined your child and they thanked you for it? Well, we should, as God's covenant people, we should thank him for it. God never afflicts without a reason. The same is true for our disciplining our sons and daughters. You know, you may even have certain offenses that lead to certain punishments. When, in like manner, God punishes us. He disciplines us at times due to sin, at times not due to our sin, at times just to reveal himself to us or to reveal something about us that we need to be aware of. We may never be shown all the reasons why he's disciplining us in this way and that way. And we may never understand all the working out of those details over the course of our lives and the course of history, but he does. And we can trust his will and what that means for our lives. Well, thirdly, God is also faithful in glorifying His people. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This talks about how God is faithful in preserving us until the coming of the Lord Jesus. But it also would apply, if He doesn't come back and we go to heaven first, it applies to God preserving us and being faithful to His Word in preparing us and keeping us safe and preparing us for our eternal home. Paul writes in Romans 8:30, we talked about this verse much before, "And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." Now, we'll never reach that state of glorification until we are in a perfect state, which is not going to be on earth. It'll be in heaven. But God keeps us until that day. Pink writes, "God gives a full demonstration of the constancy of His everlasting goodness toward His elect by effectually calling them out of darkness into His marvelous light, and this should fully assure them of the certain continuance of it." Good news is, too, you can't have one of those without all three. God's not going to save you and not sanctify you. He's not going to save you and not glorify you. It's all of it. Well, let's look at some points of application. First of all, knowing that God is faithful and will be faithful to us should keep us from worry. I didn't say will, I said should. Now, many of you probably have New Year's resolutions. It's the time of year to do that, right? Some of y'all may have a resolution to worry less. That's a good one to have. Well, as we understand more God's faithfulness to us, this should help us to do so. Pink writes, this is a great quote, and if you struggle with worry or you know somebody that does, think through this, share this with somebody that's struggling with it. He writes this, "To be full of care, to view our situation with dark forebodings, to anticipate the morrow with sad anxiety, is to reflect poorly upon the faithfulness of God. He who has cared for his child through all the years will not forsake him in old age. He who has heard your prayers in the past will not refuse to supply your need in this present emergency." Now, show of hands, how many of you have had answered prayers in the past year or decade? All of us, right? God will continue to be faithful to you. We can expect no less in the year 2020. Secondly, understanding God's faithfulness will check our murmurings. That's Pink's word, but I like it. We'll check our murmurings. I've often said when going through hard times that this is what God has for me at this moment. It's not an easy thing to say, but it's the reality, it's truth. And whatever God has in store for me is far better than what I would have in store for me, right? We want what He wants in our lives. Pink writes, "The Lord knows what is best for each one of us, and one effect of resting on this truth will be the silencing of our petulant complainings." So it'll check our murmurings. It should cause us to worry less. And thirdly, understanding God's faithfulness will give us increased confidence in God. 1 Peter 4:19, "Therefore let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Pink writes on that verse, "When we trustfully resign ourselves and all our affairs into God's hands, fully persuaded of His love and faithfulness, the sooner shall we be satisfied with His providences and realize this, that God doeth all things well." Not some, all. Now, let me close with a sobering paragraph from Pink. And think about this. As you start a new year, we don't know what's going to come in 2020 for you, but think about this. He writes, "There are seasons in the lives of all when it is not easy, no, not even for Christians, to believe that God is faithful. Our faith is sorely tried, our eyes bedimmed with tears, and we can no longer trace the outworkings of His love. Our ears are distracted with the noises of the world, harassed by the atheistic whisperings of Satan, and we can no longer hear the sweet accents of his still small voice. Cherished plans have been thwarted. Friends on whom we have relied have failed us. A professed brother or sister in Christ has betrayed us. We are staggered. We sought to be faithful to God, and now a dark cloud hides him from us. We find it difficult, yea, impossible at times for carnal reason, to harmonize his frowning providence with his gracious promises. Have you been there? Maybe you're there now. Well, he says this, "Ah, faltering soul, severely tried fellow pilgrim, seek grace to seek Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." This is what God's calling us to in 2020. Is as we think about his faithfulness to us, let us rely even more upon him. You know, it may be a difficult diagnosis this year. It may be a job loss. It may be a loss of a close friend or family member. Is God faithful in those circumstances? Yes, he is. And he will not forget you, his child. And he will not forget you, whom he has promised love to and affection to, and he's promised to keep you until the end. Pastor Bailey, can you close in prayer?
Our great God and Father, now we thank you for your faithfulness, that you are one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who keeps covenant, that you never failed and never will. Not one word of yours has fallen or failed. We thank you for that and pray that you help us to keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would look to his finished work that he's already accomplished, that we might look to his intercession for us even now, that we would look to his coming, knowing that you are a God who is faithful and will accomplish all that you've promised to. And help us to remember these things. We know we are weak and frail, and we pray that you would help us to remember your covenant faithfulness, that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you always watch over, and you're always at work fulfilling your promises. And so we pray you'd help us to trust, to live by faith and not by sight. Thank you for reminding us of these truths. Help us to walk in them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, bless you all.